number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lions, and excited to resume our conversations with our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old, Greg. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year. How you doing?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Can't complain. Got some good stuff. But I'm good. I'm in a weird professional purgatory right now. I'm on family leave from ESPN to be with the newborn son, but I'm still doing all of the other stuff that I'm doing. So I couldn't cut myself off completely from hockey, and yet my fingers aren't going to be working for the next month. It's an interesting place to be.
So you're not completely hiding down a hallway like Joel Hoffer was last night, but you're still engaged?
So the wrap on that apparently is the way that the stadium is constructed, that's usually where the backup goalie hangs out. But I refuse to believe that. I mean, the look he gave the camera as it zoomed in
so perfect.
Is that of a man who was hiding, that of a man who wanted nothing to do with what was happening on the ice. And I don't care what the explanation ends up being. In my mind, he's trying to get as small as he can and hoping that no one can notice him.
Yeah, he was basically like, I'm good. We'll let Jordan finish the game. I'm totally fine. Since we last talked, the Predators have been on a tear as of late, as they are now very much in the mix in the wild card race in the Western Conference. What's kind of been your take on how they played as of late?
Well, I mean, I looked at it. If you look at the last month, going back to December 9th, they're like, I think, 8th or 9th in points percentage. I mean, they are one of the best teams in hockey in the last month. And, you know, a lot of that, I think, has to do with the uptick in offense. I mean, you look at the players that have been performing in that stretch. It's the ones that had been sort of misfiring earlier in the season, chief among them obviously being Steven Stamkos. But then you get O'Reilly and Forsberg and, you know, Evangelista, and all these guys are contributing to a team that's, I think, kind of in the best dozen offensive teams in the last month. They're still kind of middle of the pack defensively, but, you know, overall they're doing enough to win games, and there's no denying the results they're getting, which has thrust them back into a playoff race. Maybe much to the chagrin of the vultures circling this team earlier this season, looking to pluck players, but they're certainly a lot more relevant in this wild card race than I think a lot of us thought they'd be.
But here's the question: if you're Barry Trotz, and he comes on our air every week and talks about this stuff, and, you know, kind of says he's taking it day by day, you still know where you truly are long term. Now, yeah, you get into the playoffs; we've seen it; anything can happen, but. You know, where do they match up against a Colorado, a Dallas, a Minnesota? I would say down the stretch that those teams are probably better. So if you're getting offers for guys like O'Reilly or, you know, other key players, don't you have to still sit there and consider it?
You do. I mean, I think you're always considering it in case somebody comes in and blows you away with something. And, you know, obviously the undercurrent to the success of some of these players down in the last month is that all of a sudden their value starts to spike. I mean, my God, the value of a Steven Stamkos now versus what it was a month and a half ago, it's not even in the same conversation, because now he's shown he can still be a viable offensive player in 2025-26. That being said, I mean, you know, like you said, you know where this team is and you know the direction that it's going. And if you ask an executive in this league, winning matters, forward momentum matters, getting playoff experience for young players matters. And so as much as there's probably going to be the temptation to sell high, and it's not to say that they won't if the right offers come in, I think there's probably also going to be a temptation to keep this thing rolling and see what they end up doing, even if that ends up being, you know, a first-round buy for the Colorado Avalanche, which is probably the fate of anybody that falls in that wild card two spot.
Greg, with the Olympic break coming up here in a few weeks and everything, the schedule being so bunched up together, I've heard Andrew Burnett say this, other coaches around the league, we don't have a lot of time to practice. We don't have a lot of time to practice. We're playing, you know, almost every night, other night, all that. Like, does that have any credence with you? I mean, when teams like maybe Chicago and Utah and San Jose are right in that middle pack and maybe more practicing can help, or is this just like a coach like, we're going to throw it out there and that's an excuse?
Dude, I just think there's no time for it. I mean, you know, first of all, that there's already been kind of a trend in this league for years to get away from morning skates. You know, I think it started with some of the West Coast teams and the schedules they had to keep, and I think other teams have adopted it over time. But I think this season sort of demands to not have to practice a lot. They just don't have the time. And also, you know, you're trying to preserve the bodies of these players. A number of guys and a number of coaches have noted that because of the condensed schedule, you know, there's a lot of high-profile players that have suffered injuries, and, you know, there's a lot of lineup absences because of the condensed schedule as well. So the more downtime you can give them, the more time you can give them to recover, the better it's going to be. And that's just kind of across the league what you're seeing this year.
Blackhawks have won four straight. How close are they, do you think, from breaking through and becoming, get on that trajectory, Greg, of being really good again?
They found some pieces. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me this season for them has been Spencer Knight, in the sense that you know, that big trade they swung last year that gets Seth Jones on the Panthers, they acquire Spencer Knight as sort of what they hope would be their goalie of the future, and it looks like they might have one in them, which is great news for them. It's one less thing you have to worry about. But, you know, if you look at them and you look at, say, the San Jose Sharks, the other team that's obviously in that conversation of, you know, when will they turn the corner, I think you can clearly see the Sharks are a little bit further ahead. You know, maybe that's the Macklin Celebrini of it all. I don't know. But, like, I still think Chicago is a team that has some pieces they have to put together. But, you know, one of the more underappreciated stories this year, to be honest, is the job that Jeff Blashill's done with them. I think when he got hired in Chicago, there was a lot of eye rolling because they saw him as a retread. You know, he didn't get the job done in Detroit. Why are you hiring him in Chicago? But he's always been a guy that I've really liked. He's always been a coach that I think in the right situation could thrive. And, you know, he's worked under really smart guys, including John Cooper in Tampa. And I think he's a primary reason they are where they are right now this season.
Very good. Greg, I'm a big on honoring guys who were legends in the sports, whether it's hockey, baseball, football, doesn't matter. Glenn Hall passed away, Hall of Fame goalie. I mean, 502 starts as a goaltender, Iron Man streak. I mean, guys like that built hockey, and I'm pretty sure you're like me. They need to be honored, especially when they pass away.
Well, we talked – me and Jeff Merrick on our podcast today talked about him a lot because that is clearly – one of sports' most unbreakable records. I mean, we celebrate when guys play 70 games in a season,
right?
Let alone, you know, 500 in a row. And it's never, unless they genetically create a goaltender who never gets tired in a lab somewhere, that record's never getting broken. The two things I was thinking about Glenn Hall recently, one is every time you see a picture of him play, you wince because you think back to the times in which goalies did not wear masks. And even as a kid, like as a kid growing up and watching hockey, like the moment that you see a picture from back in the day and you see one of these guys without a mask, you're just like, how the hell did that happen? How is that not like homicide on ice? The fact that these guys played without masks. And then the other thing too, there's a great picture of Hall that we showed on our show, The Sheet, today, me and Merrick, where he's in the locker room, he's wearing shoulder pads that look like they're made out of wet paper towels, and he's smoking a cigarette in the locker room. I'm just like, bring me back to those days, baby. when hockey players were hockey players, no protection, and just smoking a dart in the locker room between periods.
So good. Greg Wyshynski.
A dart.
I love that. Greg Wyshynski is with us here on the program. So every team has hit the halfway mark or a little past it now. In the season, what team or teams in your mind may have some second half juice that we haven't quite seen in the first half?
I mean, the chief among them is the Devils. I mean, it might be like geographic bias, but I mean, like that's a team that is just aimless. They've got no passion right now. But I was talking to one of their players the other day, and he said, "Look, the biggest cure for cancer in the NHL is winning." And if they could string together something in the second half of the season, that's a team that could easily get on a real roll. And they've got the talent to do it. You know, there's some other teams that have sort of underperformed. I still think Vegas has another gear to hit. I don't think they've really been playing well. I think if they get Aiden Hill back, that could really elevate them. But again, you look up and down this league right now with the amount of parity that we have and the amount of teams that are just bunched together, it's going to be a fascinating second half, if only to figure out which one of these teams is going to really, you know, dramatically pull the trigger on a move that could separate them from the pack, and which team does that first. So it's a fascinating little season we've got cooked up here, and I'm dying to see how it breaks down.
I got to tell you though, I'm a little worried about Colorado. They've lost two in a row. I mean, that's four losses on the year. So the wheels might be falling off.
But for real, I mean, like, they might go through a stretch here where they're not as dominant. I mean, Devon Taves is banged up. Landis Cogg with that injury, there's concern he might not be able to play in the Olympics. Blackwood's out of the lineup again. Mackenzie Blackwood is, like, your quintessential guy where if you could possibly keep him healthy, he might win a Vezina trophy. But keeping him healthy is the real problem. They've got Wedgwood, who's been great. But, like, if you look at Blackwood since he came back from injury, he kind of has a record that reminds you of Linus Ullmark's record when Boston went on that bender a couple years ago. Yeah. Where he was like 101-1 or some nonsense. Like, that's how good Blackwood's been for them this year. So they're getting a little test here, and obviously that's good news for Jared Bednar. Any of these coaches that coaches one of these juggernauts will tell you, like, we want adversity, we want challenges, we don't want to be on cruise control for months on end, because that's what ends up getting you, you know, Tampa Bay getting upset in the first round by Columbus. You know, you want to have these moments where you have to kind of like pick yourself up and play a little bit better, and I think Colorado might actually be in one of those right now.
Greg, tell us, you know, for us that follow the Nashville Predators, that love the Nashville Predators like me, but I'm a casual observer of the NHL, tell us how impressive the milestone is of Steven Stamkos and 600 goals.
Oh, man, it's incredible. I mean, if you think back to the Ovechkin record that we just saw get set last season and him passing Gretzky, you know, one of the things that we talked about was how much more difficult it is to score goals now than it's ever been in the sport, because the goalies are that much better, because the defensive systems are that much better, because the defensemen are that much better. You know, it's just become really, really hard to score goals in this league. And so for Stammer to have done that, you know, throughout his career and during a time when, you know, Ovechkin, McDavid, Dreisaitl, you know, you can count on one hand the number of other guys that have had those kinds of goal scoring numbers on average is simply remarkable. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best goal scorers of his era. And we just talked about injuries. I mean, the great what if is if Stammer had been able to stay healthy throughout his career, what that goal total might have ended up looking like, because he did lose some time in some prime years to injury. And I think it really took away from what could be considered to be, you know, top of the pops, kind of elite, right, elite goal scoring careers of all time.
He is Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, and enjoy time with the baby, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Anytime. He's good at watching hockey, I can tell you that. He's a good little snuggly little hockey watcher, so far so good with him.
That a boy. That's what I love to see. Greg, we'll talk to you. Thanks.
Take care.
Greg Wyshynski joining us on the program, and he, as always, is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the Preds. They're back in action. They're finally back home tonight,
right,
against
pal?
The Islanders. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this, what day is it? Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. I'm just so taken away by Elvis.
Well, I mean, he sings that, you know what I'm going to say? Brings a tear to a glass eye.
It does. I mean, it just fantastic. That is for sure. Live at the Omni at Bar Lines, as we are every Thursday. And I know Scott had a question on the Predators and called during Greg Wyshynski. Scott, what's up?
No, it's not necessarily a question. I just wanted to address a question that you brought up with Greg, and it's something that Adam keeps harping on, and it just makes me furious, and I've not had a chance to call and berate Adam, and I hope he's listening. But, you know, the idea that, you know, what's the point of making the playoffs if we're just going to get drubbed by Colorado is kind of the thing. So we might as well, you know, sell. And, well, there's two points to that. One, we keep hearing about the new core, these guys coming up. They need playoff experience. There's no substitute for that. You have to go through it. We can't hope that we're going to have the roster where we want and we're going to be a top seed a couple of years from now with a bunch of guys who've never been through it. So even if you're going to lose to Colorado in four or five games, it's very valuable for, you know, Wood and Schaefer and Blankenberg and Evangelista and Smith. I think Smith may have played against the Canucks a few years ago, last time we were in. But those guys, they need playoff experience so that when we're ready to compete, it's not Greek to them. I mean, you can be around older guys, and they can tell you what it's like, but you need to experience it. So making the playoffs is very valuable for that reason alone.
That might be the best call we've gotten here, Scott. Thank you.
And the other point is, if you sell Ryan O'Reilly, you're not only tanking this year, you're tanking next year and probably the year after that, because there's nobody else in this organization remotely qualified to be a centerman, you know, first line, much less the second line. So, I mean, you have to really be knowing that you're out of it, and you have to have a plan to sign or trade for somebody. If you get rid of O'Reilly, you're not tanking just this year. You're tanking the next few years, in my opinion. So that's I'm all about – I don't think we should be, you know, mortgaging the future to go on some great playoff run. I think there's even a case to maybe sell Marchessault. And that may not even impact what we're doing, because we've been playing better, quite frankly, without him. We've got line combinations that are working without him.
Sure.
So, I mean, I can see selling Marchessault, but I sure as hell don't want to sell O'Reilly. And, you know, and the way Stamkos is going, too, I'm not too thrilled with that, because I definitely don't want to be retaining any more salary on anybody. That's for damn sure. I have no idea why they agreed to retain salary on Sisson, even though it was a little. It's just no more of that, please.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Scott. Appreciate it. Here's what I'll say.
Great call, Scott.
It is, because – it is a tough position, and I want you to, you know, kind of look at this through Barry's mind. This is a guy that is a Stanley Cup winning coach. He has competed his whole career. Now he's a GM. Now he's responsible for building not only the team for today, but the team for tomorrow and next year and the year after that. And so there is a balance. If you look at it, you know, to what Adam's saying, and I get it. And I mean,
wait, hold on. Adam's saying don't make the playoffs?
No, but just let me finish. He's not saying don't make the playoffs. He's saying don't let the resurgence that they've had as of late get in the way of planning for the future.
Okay.
And, you know, there is a value, as Greg just said, there is a value to Ryan O'Reilly that wasn't there a month ago. There's a value to Steven Stamkos that wasn't there a month ago. So I understand that. It's kind of like your premise on Jeffrey Simmons. To me, you don't do anything unless you are just absolutely blown away and you can't say no. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I look at it, because to Scott's point, you know, yeah, that playoff experience is invaluable. I think what a lot of Preds fans are tired of, though, is just get in and then get bumped in six games in the first round. And I think that's what a lot of people are scared of that's going to happen here. And right now,
such a loser way of thinking. It's such a absolute – you don't want to make the playoffs, and then you bitch because you didn't get in the playoffs.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So get in the playoffs.
So
you don't know what's going to happen?
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
No, you're not. You get in the playoffs.
I am just giving – I am simply explaining – the thought process.
So by your thought process, in 27, Preds shouldn't have got in. They were the 16th team out of 16. Didn't deserve to be in there. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that somebody thinks you shouldn't make the playoffs because it wouldn't make the team better, absolute dumbass.
Here's what I think.
Stupid.
I think that.
God, a loser mentality.
I think that you see what happens in the next month or so. And if the team's still playing the way that they have been playing the month of December, and, you know, granted January's 8 days in, it hadn't been as good, but, you know, let's just say they're right there in the mix,
okay,
or even in a wild card spot a month from now.
Sure.
I think you truly have to be blown away to give up something. But to Scott's point, I'm not trading a draft pick or a prospect to go add. I'm going to roll with what I got.
Okay.
And whatever happens, happens. That's kind of how I view it.
I'm all about that. But to say don't make the playoffs because you're going to get beat, you are an absolute loser mentality. I don't want you in my organization. I don't want you on my team.
No,
that's a terrible way to say things.
Well, it's terrible. Just, I mean, look, it is, but it's also it's looking at, all right, what's more beneficial? Maybe making it now and seeing what happens, or using the assets to build for next year. It's like, and I disagree. Like, if you trade O'Reilly now, he's got one, he'll be on his last year next year of a 4-year contract. I mean, yeah, that's a big hit, but you don't have a number one center. He's not a number one center. He's playing one, and he's playing well.
All right.
But you don't have that right now. Now, there's no guarantee if you trade him and you get the pick that you're going to go get that number one center.
Right.
But
so you can make all these changes and still make the playoffs.
Correct.
Which is great. And but don't say, well, we need to sit out because you need that higher draft choice.
Yeah. Now, look, I think if you trade O'Reilly or you trade Stamkos, you're probably not making the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, you're probably not. But Marchessault, now that's a different conversation because he's been out for a while. They are playing better without him. He's never really truly found his game here. Now the price is going to be way down for him, but do you consider if you're Barry trying to move him? And I would say the answer to that question is yes.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens, but don't have a loser mentality.
No, and I don't. Look, I mean,
I know you don't. But
like, I think that right now you kind of see what you got with this group because you can't – I mean, the other thing, too, is everybody's like, well, sell everything off and, you know, tank. I mean, a few years ago they tried to do that, and the team still damn near made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's – you can't control – you can't tell competitors not to compete, even if they're young. So I think a month from now, if they start playing like they did earlier in the season again, then okay, that's a different conversation.
Right. I'm with you.
But right now, I think what he's doing is he has said it's day by day, he's going to sit there and you just let it play out.
I don't want to make the playoffs.
Gosh. 2312, or John from Nashville says, if you don't want to go to the playoffs or care about the playoffs, then you might as well have not even started the season.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Need more people like John in the world.
Wes in Clarksville, I'd rather be in the playoffs every year like we were then, being how the Titans have been the last 3 years. Tannehill threw 3 interceptions, and then the Titans detonated the team because the playoffs wasn't good enough. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So, there you go. We'll come back with more coming up next, live from the Omni, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Elvis's birthday. Playing some Elvis for you today. Live here at the Omni at Bar Lines. I love this song. So good.
Takes you back to a different place in time, right?
It sure does. Back to Heartbreak Hotel.
It does, man.
It sure does.
Right next to the Drake on Murfreesboro Road.
The Drake. I have a funny story about the Drake.
Uh-oh.
For another
day. Did somebody lose something that day at the Drake?
No. So my friend Logan, his mom got remarried, and her brother wanted to, you know, do something nice for his sister. So he got them a honeymoon suite at the Marriott by the airport because they were flying out the next morning for their honeymoon. But he wanted to mess with them first. So he gave Logan and I like $300 to go find another hotel and get it set up.
Okay.
And he was going to, you know, basically take them there and make them think that was the honeymoon suite. So we went to the Drake and basically paid for a room that the honeymoon where the stars stay.
Yeah. So that cost you $20. Then
basically,
you had $280 left over.
Yeah.
Surprised you didn't go to the Airways Motel.
No, we just went. We went to the Drake. It was hilarious. His mom wouldn't walk in.
So they actually went there.
Yeah.
And then when did they tell him you're not? This
when
is they, a joke.
When she's like, I'm not going to this place.
Oh my gosh. But it's where the stars stay, though.
Yeah, I know. It's a famous hotel. Yeah.
How dare her not go in there? Oh my goodness.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Right. That sign I saw it the other day. The sign's still up where the stars stay at the Drake Motel.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now we're not know what stars exactly stayed there, but they said they did.
Indeed they did. What happens tonight?
Oh, man. I'm so torn in this game because that Miami front seven on defense is so good. But Ole Miss is a really, really good football team. I mean, really good. And so is Miami. I mean, you got two guys facing off. I like Miami, the defense. I like the story. Nobody wanted them in. But, man, the Ole Miss story with these guys, with dad leaves and the kids are left to raise themselves. I'm going to go for Ole Miss. I just like the story. I like what Pete Golden is doing down there. And the fact you can absolutely shove it to Lane Kiffin is a beautiful thing.
That, yeah.
Why are we giggling?
Because I'm looking through some of the numbers we have, and I just realized one that we have that I probably should have.
Oh, yeah. Brian Bosworth. He's probably filming one of those outstanding what's the Pepsi commercial or the Dr.
Dr. Pepper, yeah.
Smash no, that's not Smashville.
Fansville.
Fansville, yeah.
I hate those commercials, but I'm also like so used to them now that
yeah, right?
I love them.
Bring out the hot seat.
Yeah, we have a lot of head coaches in this list that are dead.
Oh, give me one.
Howard Schellenberger.
Oh, rest in peace, Howie.
Vince Dooley.
Rest in peace, Vince.
Bobby Bowden.
Bobby was great when he had him on. He'd talk all day long.
Do you ever, like, when you're looking through your phone and you, like, find a number of somebody that's no longer there, do you just, like, have that moment where you go, what if I call it and they answer?
I keep it. I've got several in my phone.
Oh, I do too.
Because I feel bad if I delete the number.
Yeah.
They're going to haunt me.
Yeah.
Like, no, oh, you should have done that, Joe. So I just keep it on my phone. It's not taking up any space.
Yeah.
But Bobby Bowden, my goodness.
David Williams, the late, great David Williams.
Yeah, a lot of names in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Howard Schnellenberger, man. Love him. He's got the great story of how he recruited. He basically kidnapped Joe Namath out of high school, hit him in a hotel in Maryland, hit him in a hotel somewhere because Maryland wanted Joe Namath for like 3 days and took him to see Bear Bryant. Could you imagine that now?
Oh, yeah.
If Chase McCain went and kidnapped a quarterback at FRA and you hit out for 3 days?
I don't think that would go too well for me.
You would be – Nick Bears would be knocking your door down. Chase, I had no idea.
I saw my freshman year at MTSU, Howard Schnellenberger coach, I believe it was FAU.
That's right.
With Rusty Smith. I want to say Rusty Smith was the quarterback.
It would have been.
Yeah. They played at Middle. It was like a Thursday night.
Was that the game that Middle won in the last second?
I think so, yeah.
That's right. I remember that.
So that would have been the fall of 06.
Something along there, yes. Yep.
But he was the coach.
He was the coach. Yep.
Down in Boca Raton.
Yeah. Old Howard Schnellenberger.
Yep.
Legends, man. Those guys are absolute legends.
Won how many championships at Miami? One.
Yeah. It was a big one. Got the ball rolling for him. And then
he won one. Jimmy won one.
Dennis Erickson won two.
Dennis Erickson won two. And then who?
Larry Coker. Won an 01. And then Mario Cristobal. Because remember, Butch Davis was at Miami 95 to 2000. And they were 2000. Miami was really good. They beat up Florida at the Sugar Bowl, like literally, like the before the game. And then they were poised for 01. And then Butch Davis said, hey, I'm going to go to Cleveland. And took off. And Larry Coker took over after that. They won a – that 0-1 Miami team, yeah, it's a pretty damn good football team, man.
You look at lists of, like, the greatest teams of all time. They're in consideration.
I think there's 40 – God, I think I read this – 46 guys who were drafted off that 0-1 team.
Have you ever gone and looked at the coaching staff?
From 0-1?
Mm-hmm.
So, Larry Coker?
Yep.
Don Soldinger.
He was the special teams and running backs coach.
Art Keogh.
O-line.
Okay. And I don't remember.
DB's coach is one that you would know. Mark Stoops.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's all. I had no idea.
Randy Shannon was the defensive coordinator. Rob Chudzinski was the OC and tight ends.
Former Browns coach, head coach.
Yep. Vernon Hargraves Jr., coach linebackers.
He is at Middle Tennessee.
Is he really?
Coach, yes.
Is he really?
Yep.
Curtis Johnson, coach wide receivers.
Cujo. I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't. The name sounded familiar. So, yeah.
Not bad, man. So I love to do the deep dive on these old coaching staffs.
Oh, me too.
Because you mentioned earlier where John Harbaugh was before he went to the pros.
Indiana. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Wrapping things up here from the Omni. Working on some stuff for tomorrow, which will be fun.
We are. Big night tonight. Predators playing. Ole Miss and Miami. And then tomorrow we have Indiana and Oregon.
Yes. Will be fun for sure. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
Okay, first on the list we have not that download. Argyle Day, so it's the type of pattern that you have on those fancy socks. You'd say those work socks.
No, he's the limo driver from Die Hard.
That's right.
Bubble Bath Day is next.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
To all the men out there, when's the last time you took a bath? Like an actual bath. I know we take showers every day, but a bath.
I feel like I took one like 6 months ago because I hurt something. And I was trying to, but I could barely fit in the tub, so it really didn't work.
What about you, Dr. Crane?
We had this conversation yesterday. I'd probably say it was a week and a half ago for me, an Epsom salt bath.
Okay.
Yeah.
To cut some weight. So, oh, by the way, this is the first time in 18 months I'm under 170.
Congratulations.
Thank you. What are you trying to get down? Are you wrestling White's Creek tomorrow night? What are we doing?
155 is the fighting weight.
Okay. All right. All right, that's good. Good for you, buddy.
Thank you. All right, continuing. Earth's Rotation Day is today. Healthy Weight, Healthy Look Day. Oh, how about that? Career Coaching, so National Career Coach Day. National English Toffee Day. National Joy Germ Day. Interesting. National Man's Watchers Day. It says National Man Watchers Day.
What's the picture? Is it?
It's a man with his arms crossed. Yeah.
All right, good.
It's really weird. On Poverty Day, World Typing Day, Show and Tell Day at Work, and National Winter Skin Relief Day.
Well done. By the way, the best class, the most important class I ever took in college or high school, typing. Did you take typing, Chase?
Yeah.
At FRA or in college?
FRA.
Typing at class at
Mavis McGavick. Beacon Typing Studio. Actually, no, it was in elementary school. It wasn't FR.
What, you learned how to type in elementary school?
Yeah, like
rich people. Rich people do all that stuff. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. You got to get these within two. Our first birthday, Dr. Crane, you get to go because you're not here with us. How old is Jason Giambi?
56.
55. Chase on the board, 1-0. Chase, how old is my old friend Jeff Francoeur?
48.
40. 42. Dr. Crane's on the board, tied at 1. Dr. Crane, how old is Noah Cyrus, the son of Billy Ray Cyrus, man?
I believe that's a girl.
It's a girl. You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go
29. I just saw a picture. 29. All right. Sorry. Sorry, Billy Ray.
30.
26. Chase, how old is he? Might be the best game show host of all time. One, Bob Eubanks.
81.
88.
88, exactly.
Nice.
Well done. Dr. Crane's up 3-1. Dr. Crane, how old is gospel singer Christy Lane? She had that great song, One Day at a Time.
72.
Sweet Jesus. Let me finish the song, pal.
No, please don't.
Trust me, I saved Nashville from running off
Thank
the road.
Thank you.
It was an infomercial that she had in Nashville for years. Christy Lane.
77.
86. Chase McCabe, the director of Die Hard and Predator, John McTiernan.
77.
70.
75. Chase is battling back, 3-2. Dr. Crane, Gabby Hoffman. She was a little girl that fell off the bleachers in Field of Dreams, and then she was in the TV show Girls.
62.
52.
44. Here we are at the buzzer. Last one. Chase is down 3-2. So, Chase, you go first. How old is singer Anthony Gourdin of Little Anthony and the Imperials? Singer Anthony Gourdin of Little Anthony and the Imperials.
83.
80.
It's 85. We're tied at 3. We got a tiebreaker, folks. Ding, 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 ding. All right, here we go. We find a birthday here, that one that I know that I've seen before. How old is, man, I don't know any of these people. Man, who's the people? How old is the bass player Jeff Abercrombie of Fuel? Dr. Crane, you go.
57.
48.
And the winner at the buzzer, Dr. Crane. He is 57 years old.
Wow.
Exactly.
Good job, Dr.
Big
Crane.
Big Abercrombie fan.
You are, man. They have a, I think they have a store at Opry Mills, too.
I don't shop there.
Big fan of Fuel, apparently.
You got to put it in your car, man. Got to get it going, man. Happy
220
birthday.
Down the road.
Well, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
What do you do when you get, you want a receipt and it says, see cashier for receipt?
I get in my car and leave.
Same. See cashier. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'll go down the road, man.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'll run out of gas before I go in and see anybody.
Exactly. If I pull up to a pump and it says, like, you have to go inside, I go somewhere else.
Right.
I kid you not. I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
That happened the other day. I'm like,
I don't want to talk to anyone right now.
I'm not going inside to see anybody.
You come out to me.
Yeah. You guys are crazy, man.
Could you imagine? See, you know, gone are the days of, like, the full service stations where they would actually come out and, you know, put your gas in and
do the windshield, check your oil and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, gone are those days.
I'm like, get away from my car. I don't want you guys anywhere near me. Stop that.
So you're saying Ole Miss tonight?
I think Miami wins, but I want Ole Miss to win.
Okay.
That means nothing.
I think Miami wins.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think they
But I,
think
I want Miami to go all the way just to shove it to Kiffin.
I just think it's – I mean, this is going to be something. Do you think Cam Ward's at the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What else you got to do?
I think we'll see. Rehab.
Whoever's a shoulder and a brace, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'd go. I mean, you're a millionaire now. Go do it.
Oh, you know he's there.
He's like,
Well done. That is going to do it for us here today at the Omni.
All right. Our mission, again, mental health for this year. We're talking to you. Don't quit. Whatever you do, man, don't quit. We need you here. Ask God for opportunities. Know that you are loved. Know that your journey sometimes is bumpy, but it's your journey. It's a great journey because we're here for you. So please know that. Don't quit. Find your gratitude, and please go to therapy if you need to talk. Please talk to somebody. I tell you, our world is a better place, and I mean this. Our world is a better place because you are here, and my goodness, you are so loved. Know that we love you, and more importantly, please know this more than anything else in the world, is that God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming your way next. Preds hockey tonight as well on 102.5 The Game.